that's right. We're here for Georgia State University, of course, Panther Zone, right here on Blog Talk Radio, presented by Impact Media. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. Welcome back. Welcome to the Zone, I guess. Kind of a laid back, little chilly today in Atlanta. It's been a little chilly all week. Nothing we can't handle. The wind was, man, the wind was there. But, you know, overall, it's January. Kind of the weather we're supposed to have in January, right? Exactly. But, like I said, I'm Jeremy the Impact York. You're here for the GSU Panther Zone season wrap-up. We did take a couple weeks off there at Christmas and New Year's. Hope you guys had a good holiday. And, you know, this is a show that when I started this season, first full season, we were able to cover the team. And obviously, you know, cover the football team. Obviously, we have some beach volleyball and baseball for Georgia State coming up pretty soon. We'll get a little more into that. But this is our first full season covering the team. And by far, one of the best seasons in general we've had at Impact Media, just overall. A lot of it thanks to Georgia State and all the awesome things that happened this season. But the point I was making is when we started this season, we were looking forward to this show. Not looking forward to the end because, hey, it's over, it's the end, but we were looking forward to it saying, hey, when we get to the end, we'll have all this to talk about, which we do. All this excitement, all the fun things have happened, and they have. But, I mean, in a way, I haven't been avoiding this show. But, you know, it's here now, and I wanted to give it the proper respect that it deserves because, yeah, that means, you know, this is kind of the capper on this football season for Georgia State, at least as far as a lot of the stuff we do. Now, we're still going to have a lot of updates, hoping to get some interviews and maybe some comments or some things going. You know, Panther Zone continues all year long. We are going to take about a three-week break or so. I think first week of February we're going to fire up with the talk about the baseball and beach volleyball stuff. Don't have a calendar in front of me. Just the first week of February we'll be there, ready to go on that. Might do some fun things with that. We'll get you guys to interact as well. But like I was saying, you know, this is kind of the ninth inning, so to say, or this is the 2-minute drill, to put it in football terms, the 2-minute drill of this season. And yeah, it's I'm not gonna say it's sad because this season was full of so many highs and lows, and like I said, it was a great season. I mean, who had this team doing as good as they did early on, especially the slow start? I mean, at 2-6. Sure, we all believed, and we really wanted them to win out, have a chance in a bowl. But it was such a high probability that it wouldn't happen. I mean, it was just a magic run, and I think it goes to say the way Trent Miles prepares these guys, he always talks about, you know, you keep digging, you keep playing, you never give up on it, and this team never did. Definitely never did. And it was a blast getting to cover them. Like I said, won't be our last. We'll obviously be back next season. They'll be back next season. A few new faces. We'll get into those here a little later. But pretty much today, we're going to go over the last two games. Of course, the last regular season game at Georgia Southern. And then, of course, the bowl game down in Orlando. We'll talk about that a little bit. And then just kind of wrap the season up, you know, kind of give you my take on the season, things like that, and then based off an article I saw from the other day, I just wanted to bring some things to it, you know, to you guys' attention, things you may not know or stuff like that, and things you guys have been asking about. So I'm gonna give you some information on it. But without further ado, I think we're gonna start talking about that game at Georgia Southern game on December 5th. Of course, that was in Statesboro. That game I was at. I went to that game. It was fun. To the people at Statesboro, you guys are awesome. really. I mean, you guys took us in as though we were you guys, and as we were your own. You treated us well. You gave us all the accommodations. You know, appreciate the hospitality and food and the media row. It was a lot of fun. Even security down there was good. Of course, we all know the score to that game. It was those guys, 7, us guys, 34. And of course, that made us bowl eligible. Some things you need to know about that game. I'm not saying in no way is this a shot at Georgia Southern, but I want to bring this up because it kind of worked out towards the end. Initially, when the game, before the game started, as Georgia State fans were packing the stadium on the visitor side, Georgia Southern asked very politely, they weren't very pushy, but they asked very politely if all the Georgia State fans could move to the top level, there's two levels, so that Georgia Southern fans could be closer to the field. All right, no harm, no foul. Little chip on the shoulder, it's fine. There was no fight, there was no police involved, nothing like that. Our people happily moved. The band was up top, too. The band did a phenomenal job. Good job, you guys. But as this game started to progress, and about midway through the third quarter, when a lot of their fans decided, or I think possibly remembered that they left the oven on, they had to go turn that off. They all jumped in those cars, making sure they didn't burn the house down. Definitely don't want to do that. Don't want anybody to burn their house down. But, you know, they thought maybe they left the oven on. They were going to check. Left a lot of vacancies, so our fans, as good as they are, yep, you guys, moved down to the bottom level and cheered your hearts out. And I love it. When we got down to field level towards the end of that game, to hear you guys roaring the way you guys were, that was awesome. So, you know, kudos to you guys. You know, we fought the good fight. We took the high road, and we also won 34-7. News and notes on that one. Let's see. We were able to contain Mr. Burita. Burita is a very good runner. We were able to contain him. It helped that he got hurt. I hate that he got hurt. Joseph Peterson put a hit on him as he tried to make an extra play, and he fell kind of awkwardly out of bounds and never came back in the game. Mr. Burita, you're a good runner. I don't think you would have got 100 yards if you had tried. But at the time, you were starting to get a little bit going. And I think that was the final nail in the coffin for them. They had no answer after that. As far as our guys, of course, Glenn Smith, the converted running back, 13 carries for 83 yards. He had 22 yards at one point. Kyler Neal had a 28.1 as well. He also had 2 rushing touchdowns. Kyler was on fire, and it was awesome getting to talk to him afterwards. He had some good things to say. Really good dude. You guys know he's one of my favorites anyway. I like all these kids. But, let's see. Bateman was able to throw a few down. And as far as passing, of course, our commander-in-chief, Mr. Nick Carbuckle, who will be graduating. I believe he already graduated, so if not, he'll be graduating in the spring. And we wish him the best on all the future endeavors. And, of course, I know he won't forget his time here. And I don't think we've seen the last of him, if you ask me. But I don't know anything. That's just speculation off my head. But he was 20 completions, 32 attempts. He had the 1 interception. It's okay. I think he was trying to make him feel good. He was only sacked once, 346 yards, including a 63-yard bomb. 3 touchdowns. Sounds like a typical Nick Day, doesn't it? That guy is definitely something special, and we're definitely going to miss him. Among all the other seniors, Donovan Harden as well, who had 4 catches for 70 yards, including a 27-yarder. Penny Hark had the touchdown. He had 6 catches for 119 yards, including the 63-yarder. Throwing Keith Rucker had a pretty good day. Robert Davis with some catches. Taz Bateman with some catches. Kyler Neal with some catches. Glenn Smith for some catches. We got catches for you. You get some catches. You get some catches. You get some catches. Everybody gets some catches, right? Of course, it's Nick throwing. Let's see. No field goals on the day, but Will was absolutely booming kickoffs and punts, and he was trapping them in some good spots and making sure that they were not able to get good field position. Had a couple fumbles here and there, but overall, great day. As far as our awesome defense, you had Joe Pete with 9 tackles. He had a half a sack as well, and 1.5 tackles for loss. Taurus and Caleb Ringer also had 8 tackles, 2 tackles for loss. They were in the backfield a lot. Lonzo McGee had half a sack. Mike Shaw had a sack. And let's see, who had theirs? I want to give him credit. George did. Mr. George did. So, and of course, the interceptions. You had Taurus, who had 2 interceptions for a total of 34 run back yards. He's another one we're going to miss for sure. We're going to miss all these guys. All these guys, for, you know, like I said, kudos to them. What a just phenomenal performance. Coming into this game, now, Georgia Southern did not, I mean, none of their people said this kind of thing, but the general consensus was they didn't see this as a rivalry. And some supposed experts, those are the hand quotes that you guys can't see me doing, some of the experts were saying that the Panthers weren't in the same league as Georgia Southern, you know, weren't the same caliber. Well, 34-7 at home, which was their worst home defeat in the history of the school, I'm pretty sure, says otherwise. Yeah. But, yeah, that was a great game to go to. Like I said, I had a good time. I know all of our other media representatives did as well. Like I said, once again, shout out to the Georgia Southern people. They were awesome. And we appreciate the hospitality. Actually, the fans were pretty nice. I was able to talk to the fans, even the ones as they were walking to as they were walking to their cars before, you know, during the game, after the game, even in, you know, concession stand lines and stuff. I just, you know, was asking them just general consensus, and, you know, they got a good fan base just like we do, and it's good that we can both represent the Sun Belt in bowl games the way we did. Which brings me to the next game. Of course, like I said, that would be the bowl game in Orlando, Florida, at the Citrus Bowl. It was the Auto Nation Cure Bowl, inaugural Cure Bowl, great cause. I know we were all able to raise some money and donate some money to that cause, and just a super great cause. You can donate anytime you can on that one. We'll be doing some other things with Impact Media, possibly with them, and with some stuff here in Atlanta pretty soon. Definitely stay tuned for that. But as far as this game went, it just seemed like Georgia State just didn't have an answer for Tyler Irvin, their running back, who 30 carries for 146 yards. I think he ended up with 132 total. He had a few tackles in the backfield. And their quarterback, Kenny Potter. No relation to Harry, I asked. Of course I did. 15 carries, 69 yards for him, and also 10 for 19, 1 interception, 89 yards, and the touchdown. He was sacked twice. But I think Kenny Potter was named the MVP, and he deserved it. He played out of his mind. He definitely played above where he typically would. I'm not saying he's bad. He just played, you know, he was already good. He played really good. And we really didn't have an answer for Kenny Potter and Tyler Irvin. That's what it came down to. You know, our guys went out there and did the best they could. Like Glenn Smith had 6 carries for 22 yards. But since we stayed behind most of the game, didn't get to attack the run as much. So they were able to key in on the passing game. He was sacked 4 times. Had the 1 interception at the very end of the game. 14 for 29, 208, 2 touchdowns. That's still a solid game. Nick, you know, like we told you, don't have your head down. We would love the outcome to be a little different, but I mean, you guys just couldn't do much with them. Sometimes the way it matches up, it just doesn't work out. And unfortunately, it didn't, as we dropped the game 27-16 to San Jose State. Shout out to San Jose State as well, and of course, all the awesome people at the Cure Bowl that definitely took care of us. But the San Jose State guys, we talked to them all over the place, and I made sure to interact and get a feel for the team from them and their trip over. And, you know, they're all super guys and girls, super people. It was fun getting to interact with them. You know, we don't always get to interact with people from so far away, so that was fun. But like I said, the general consensus on this game was we couldn't stop the run, and we the timely passes to Kenny Potter just put it where we were always trying to play catch up, and sometimes you just run out of steam. I think we were just tired. It had nothing to do with, you know, can't say all the guys weren't focused. No, they were as focused as they could be. But San Jose State was the better team that day. And, you know, this was our first bowl game ever. So it was already historic. It would have been nice to win it. But you can't win them all. Can't win them all. Like I said, final score 27-16. We were close. We were close to being in it. Let's see. Do we have some post-game quotes? We actually did. Okay, cool. Let's see what we got. Let's see what we can get here. I asked Coach Trent Miles, what did you say to the team in the locker room after the game? Quote, I said that I'm proud to be their coach. I was very proud of them. I was disappointed, but I'm not disappointed in the fact that we lost the game. That happened. The disappointing part, anything that I was disappointed in, was letting the emotions get the best of you and getting penalties at the end of the game. Get a penalty when we threw the interception and a couple of the penalties earlier. Young, immature decisions that don't represent the class that our university has and our program has. That's part of what I said to them, but at the same time, I'm not mad at them. I'm disappointed in letting the emotions get the best of them. That won't happen again. The guys feel bad about doing that. But at the same time, we got beat today by San Jose State. Didn't play well enough to win, and that's football. Exactly. We're still proud of these guys. Everybody makes mistakes. It got a little chippy towards the end. When the emotions get the best of you, like Coach said. And Coach was also asked, what are you going to remember from the season? He says, quote, I'm going to remember a bunch of guys that pulled together to take a team that's been playing FBS football for 3 years and get themselves from 2-6 to a bowl game. That showed a team that would never quit, never gave up on each other, believed in what was going on. A great group of guys that are still young. Exactly. End quote on that. Exactly. This, like I said, nobody had this team pegged for a bowl game. Nobody had them pegged, I mean, any better than, like, fifth or sixth in the conference. Let alone the fourth team in the conference to go to a bowl game. Sun Belt did pretty good. Starting to put the Sun Belt on the map now that there's four or five teams consistently putting up the effort they are. We had Nick up, of course. He was the other representative at the press conference. And you know, it was on the touchdown, on the touchdown that he threw. He was asked about it, and he said, quote, it was something in the coverage that we kind of changed. The touchdown that we threw actually was a play we've been prepping all week, but the coverage we got and we threw a touchdown on wasn't the coverage we anticipated on getting during practice. Offensive coordinator Jeff Jagodinski created a good adjustment, managed a little differently than we practiced with a different coverage, and was able to create some good separation on that and on our offensive line and pick up protection. Our offensive line did a tremendous job. Exactly. That sums up the whole season to me. A team that not a lot of people thought would amount to a whole lot. Of course, you guys, the fan base, and us, the media, saw something special with this team. We're not trying to take credit for it or nothing like that, but we saw something special. We wanted to see how special it would be. Special enough to be in your first bowl game. But, you know, we saw something special, and it was rewarding not only for them, but I think for us to watch them go through this journey to realize how good they actually could be. Because they're a good football team. It has nothing to do with the fact that it's, you know, a team we cover here that we're doing a show about. No, I would tell you, San Jose State's a good team. Georgia Southern's a good team. There's other teams that we played this year that are good. Ball State, that's a good football team. There's others we played that aren't. There's times this team didn't look very good. They didn't give up on each other. We didn't give up on them. They don't give up on them. This team's going to be something next year. It's going to lose a handful of people. You know, we've talked about them. But I know you guys have asked me a little bit about a certain situation. I will answer that in a minute. A few news and notes before we get you out of here. In case you did want, we got a few minutes, so if you guys want to call in with your questions, comments, concerns, suggestions, anything like that about the Georgia State Panthers, 347-826-7448. We'll get you on the line. We'd love to talk to you. Like I said, we'll be on for another handful of minutes if you want to call in. If not, that's definitely cool as well. There are 39 Panthers that earned academic honors, which just shows that this team is about more than playing sports. It's about being good human beings, learning at every facet. And, I'm proud of them. The athletic department had a 3.16 GPA for the fall semester. That is quite good. But we all know these kids are smart, or these men, I guess. We all know these men are smart. And, I actually think they can be a little bit higher this spring, maybe summer if they count that. And definitely next fall, I think we can work at being a little higher. A lot of them got some big-time honors and accolades as well. We're definitely proud of them. And kudos to them for keeping their head in the game, not only of life, not only of football, but in the classroom as well. Penny Hart was named Freshman All-American. I think he was one of the top offensive players in the conference. Nick's got to be right up there as well. Congratulations to Penny Hart on that one. And then, of course, the question you guys asked. Why don't we go to the Diamond Mine? The Impact Media Diamond Mine, and see if we can mine one.
It's about time that I find a diamond. It's about time that I mine a diamond. It's about time that I find a diamond. Hope the diamond doesn't mind when I mine near diamond, diamond. I'll mine a diamond, 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 diamond. If I could find one diamond, diamond, I'll mine the diamond. Hope the diamond doesn't mind when I mine.
And now that we're in the Impact Media Diamond Mine. I'm in mine, I guess. There's not a D in that word. You guys asked. Since we know Nick Arbuckle is not only graduating, congratulations again, but he no longer has any years of eligibility, so he can no longer be the quarterback. He can no longer be a member of the football team. At least an active player. I guess he could be a coach if he wanted to. Be kind of interesting. But with Nick not being the quarterback, who's the quarterback next year? Well, sources close to me from the AJC, had some information. I'm going to tell you who the three guys who are in a pretty close competition from what I'm hearing. And everything I'm hearing is outside the team and organization. In no way has anybody in the coaching staff, the players, anybody associated directly with Georgia State said a word. So this is not them. They're not leaking information. Just want to throw that out there. This is talk between sources around me from the AJC. Of course, we got the backup from this year, Amir Skate. He's very tall, has a strong arm, very athletic. Didn't get a lot of playing time this year. Quite all right. He's going to get plenty of practice. He looked pretty good at spring practice last year. He got injured a little bit this year, wasn't able to play as much. Then, of course, there is a redshirt freshman by the name of Aaron Winchester. So it's a very pretty pass. Yes, that's a thing. A very pretty pass. He's also pretty athletic. Don't know as much about him. And then there is a incoming transfer from the University of Utah. Yeah, Utah, that was pretty good. Connor Manning is going to transfer in. Connor Manning could not get playing time there. I'm not saying he's settling for a lesser place, but he decided to transfer after probably this season. He saw what the Panthers could do. So he's going to transfer in. I believe he has 2 years of eligibility left as well. And from what I hear, he has good mechanics. He can throw pretty good as well. And also from what I'm hearing from other sources, these are not the same ones who gave me this information, but what I'm hearing is based off some tape and some things they have watched that as much as Aaron Winchester has a shot at it, that it's going to come down more than likely to Amir Skafe and Connor Manning. And that at the current moment, Connor has a slight edge. Very slight. I guess it's like 51-49. Maybe it's 53-47. I don't know. I look forward to seeing them work out some this offseason and definitely at spring practice. But they say the battle's between Amir and Connor. So we'll definitely have to keep an eye on that. And that's gonna do it for us. It's going to do it for Diamond Mine, and that's going to do it for GSU Panther Zone as far as football is concerned. And so we'll have updates as the year progresses, as the offseason goes, and we'll have some special tidbits, and maybe we can line up some special guests or something like that. We'll work on it. Appreciate you guys tuning in this year. I know we had fun. I know you guys had fun. It was fun interacting with you guys. And like I said, we're going to take about a three-week break. The first week of February, we will be fired back up with some baseball and beach volleyball talk, as well as some news and notes from football, like I said. But for Impact Media and Blog Talk Radio, I'm Jeremy the Impact York. We'll see you next time. Go Panthers!